If you brought your Bible, open it to Proverbs chapter number 3, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 again. We're not going to stay there, but we're going to start there. How many have been in some of these services? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for the last, what, three services now? This will be the fourth? Praise the Lord. Can anybody quote it? Start reading it if you can quote it. Anybody? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Oh, glory. We've been on that for, I don't know, four services. Last Wednesday we didn't, but I think this is the fourth service, if I remember right. And we've been studying on that. I didn't realize there was as much in this passage as the Lord keeps giving me. How many of you know the Word of God's pregnant with revelation? I mean, you think you saw it all, and then you see more. So it keeps giving birth to more understanding, and it's helping. It's helping me. I know it's helping you. The Word always helps us. And so we've been looking at this. We looked at it several different ways. We looked at the emphasis, you know, there, the last part of the verse. He will direct thy paths. I believe the Lord wants to direct my paths. I believe I don't believe He's just off in a galaxy far, far away and just leaving me up to figuring this life out. He's my Father.
Yes.
And He's interested in caring for my life, and that means it includes directing my paths. And you are His child as well, and He's very, very interested in your success, more interested than even you are.
Amen.
I've been around Iowans for a while, and I've just noticed some Iowans need some more vision. You know what I'm talking about? I know God's much more interested in blessing them than they're interested in being blessed. Not just financially, but in every way. Praise God. So we are so thankful that He wants to direct our paths, but it takes some response from us. And the first three things He said: number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, lean not to your own understanding. See, this is on our side, isn't it? And then in all our ways, we're doing what? Acknowledge Him. See, we got three parts, and He's got one part. So there's more responsibility in this verse on our part than there is on His part. We got to trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding. It's important that we put those two together, because faith means sometimes you're going to do some things you don't understand. Your mind doesn't understand, but you're following this, not the intellect, not the rational, figure it all out mind. And He says, trust in the Lord with what?
All
your heart. Your heart. Your heart's much deeper than your mind, your intellect. Your heart can trust God in something when your mind can't understand it or can't figure it out. Amen. Aren't you glad? Your faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head when your head doesn't understand. The big thing for Christians is to learn to trust this and not override it with the head. Put out the light that the Spirit of God tries to give us. Put out the light that the Spirit of God tries to give us in our spirits. Put it out with the rational intellect and reason it away and say, well, I don't know. That can't be so.
Right.
Oh, it can be so. If God's dealing with you about it, it is so. The anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. That means in your heart. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. And what's the next line? Is truth. Truth. This is 1 John 2:27. Is truth and not a lie.
That's right, not a lie.
Somebody said, I just can't be true. No, it's true.
It's true.
You know why He puts in that verse, it's true? What He's guiding you, what the anointing's teaching you is true. You know why He puts it in there that it's true and not a lie? Because you're going to be tempted a lot of times to think that's not true.
Yes, sir.
That couldn't be so. That couldn't ever come to pass. That couldn't be the way God's going to use me. That couldn't be where I could walk. I mean, there's no way. Brother Higgins said that the doctors told him he couldn't be healed, or they couldn't fix it. You know, medical science didn't have any way of fixing the problem.
Right.
But when He got born again, somehow He knew in here.
Yes.
He didn't have to die at this young age.
Yes.
But he rationalized it away and said, well, you know, but the doctor said.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Until finally he'd get quiet again and he'd say, well, I just know somehow or another that the answer's in this book.
Yes.
Remember that? And thank God He followed His heart, not His head.
Yes. Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Because the spirit of truth was in him telling him the truth. He didn't have to die at that early age. Glory to God. Have you got any witness of the truth on the inside of you? Yeah, there's a way out. You might be in the worst situation you've ever been in, but in here you know there's a way out. You know you don't have to live with this condition the rest of your life. You know you don't have to live in this situation the rest of your life. You just know it. Somebody said, but how do you know? I just know in my knower. Well, explain it. I can't explain it. I just know inside. Well, listen, that same one who's given you that knowing will give you more details about how to get into it. He did that for Brother Hagin. He taught him Mark 11:23-24. Got him right out of that situation. And it was true the whole time. I wish I'd have brought it this morning. Pastor John Osteen used to say something about how beautiful it is in young age to dream a dream, but how more beautiful it is in later years to follow the dream and say in the end the dream was true.
Amen.
I ought to get that and write that down. I need to find that. I get it, say it just like he said it. But he said it's more beautiful to fight life through and find out at the end the dream was true.
Yeah, amen, amen.
What do you mean, fight life through? That means you resist all the devil's lies that says, it's not true, it's not true. You say, it's true.
It's true.
The Spirit has taught me.
Yes.
The Spirit is in me to teach me.
Yes.
He's teaching me the Word.
Yes.
And the Word is truth.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Gloria.
Medical science doesn't have the final word on everything. Politicians don't have the final word on everything. Bankers, lawyers, men, humans, they don't know everything. But someone in me does. And I trust him. And even when all men, every man I've ever talked to said, there's no way. If in here I know. If in here I know somehow or another that God's put something in my spirit and it can happen. It can be my experience in my life. I'm holding, I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart and not leaning to my understanding. And then the third thing, in all my ways, I acknowledge him. I acknowledge what he said. I acknowledge what he tells me the truth is. I say it.
Amen.
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 And he'll direct my paths right into it.
Yes.
Well, I don't know why he's not directing me. Are you acknowledging? Are you acknowledging what you know in your spirit is true? What you know in the Word is true? Amen. He directs acknowledgement. Anybody getting anything out of this? He doesn't direct people that say, no, it's not true. No, he directs acknowledgement. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He didn't say as many as get a leading.
That's right.
As many as are led. You can get a leading but not follow it. The first step of following it is acknowledging it. Acknowledge it. Say it out loud. Say it to your spouse. Say it in front of the mirror, looking at yourself in the mirror. Say, it's true. God keeps telling me that I don't have to die of cancer at this age. It's true.
Amen, amen.
The doctor said there's no way, and the devil jumps on your head and reminds you what the doctor said and reminds you, you know, Uncle Joe that died of cancer and everybody else that died of cancer. And the devil says there's no way. You said somehow or another, I just know in here there's a way. I might not know all my head might not be able to figure it all out. I don't know how God does what he does. But that's not my department. My department is to trust. Number two, lean not to my understanding. Number three, acknowledge. Acknowledge what I know is true. Well, we've been preaching on that for three services. Let's take this a little further this morning. Going to go a little different direction, but it's going to be what the Lord put in my heart.
Amen.
If you think about it, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's been our focus. Our emphasis has been on that statement, acknowledge him. Well, that includes acknowledging the Word, doesn't it?
Yes,
acknowledge the Word, even when you don't understand it.
Yes.
You know, whenever you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Yes.
Anybody needed that lately?
Yes.
I'm not picking on you. I've needed it. Amen. Pastor Debbie shows me sometimes I needed it. All the guys just looking at me. But see, how many of you know after that sometimes you feel terrible? You feel you're beating yourself up. You're condemning yourself. But remember, he said, confess it and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Yes.
You can't go by feelings. You have to acknowledge what he said in his word. He's cleansed me of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So don't acknowledge your feelings. Acknowledge the word. Don't acknowledge your feelings. Acknowledge the word. That's a good statement. Acknowledge, I just feel like beating somebody up. Well, acknowledge the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I feel like marching on Washington with guns. Well, acknowledge the love of God that's in you by the Holy Ghost. Please do that for us. Well, that was supposed to be funny. Some of you are... there's a lot to this acknowledgement, but I want you to sit, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. Say all your ways.
All your ways.
That means the way I conduct my decisions, the way I spend my money, the way I treat my wife, the way I raise my kids, you just take it, everything. Just in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, to acknowledge him, you have to acknowledge what he said. You have to acknowledge the word, the written word of God. We kind of been talking about the inner knowing, the spirit of truth that guides us into all truth. But he's the one that authored the book. He's the one that authored the word of God. Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right?
Yes.
So whenever we acknowledge the word, we're acknowledging the spirit. When we acknowledge the spirit, we're acknowledging the word, because the two agree.
That's right.
The word never, the spirit never leads you against what the word says.
Right.
So when you acknowledge him, you're acknowledging what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any parents ever told your children something and you're waiting for an acknowledgement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
yeah, like my 27-year-old pastor. No, I'm talking about. So, what do you mean whenever you say I'm waiting for an acknowledgement? You want some feedback, some outward expression that they know what you said. I'm getting somewhere. So, to acknowledge God is the same way. It's an outward expression acknowledging that you know what he said, and it is something that is an action outwardly. Now, to acknowledge God is to acknowledge what he said, and his word is truth. Remember, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." To fail to acknowledge God is a lot of times the reason we fail to acknowledge God. Well, some because they don't know.
Right.
We understand that people don't acknowledge him as Jesus as their healer because they just don't know. That's one kind of unbelief, but there's two kinds of unbelief in the Bible. The other kind of unbelief is the kind where people know what to do, but they just refuse to accept the truth of what the word says. And now that's the kind of unbelief the children of Israel got into at Kadesh Barnea. They knew what God had said. I've given you the land. Go in and possess it. But they didn't. Remember, we looked at that last Sunday, maybe? They would not acknowledge what he said. They kept saying what they saw or saying what they felt. Isn't that right? Which, if you boil it down, was a lie. Now, hold with me here. They said, we can't. They're walled cities, giants. They have iron chariots, And then they listed the reasons we can't. Because Joshua and Caleb said, let's go up at once and possess it. We're well able. And they said, no, we can't. There's walled cities, giants, and chariots of iron. We cannot possess it. They're greater than us. We're grasshoppers before them. And we see ourselves the same way. So they said we couldn't, and God said, all right, go out in the wilderness. I'm going to let that generation die off. Remember, 40 years later, the next generation went in and possessed the land.
Yes.
So they actually could.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
The next generation proved they could. The next generation proved what they were saying was a lie. They had accepted the devil's lies. Listen to me. This is down. This is everyday stuff for all of us. They accepted the devil's lies because they refused to acknowledge the truth of what God had said. That is our land. God said, I've given it to you. He didn't say, I'm going to. He said, I have given it to you. Joshua and Caleb said, they said exactly what God said. God has given it to us. Their defense is departed from them. Let us go up at once. We are well able. That's what God had said. God had said, it's yours, go take it. He didn't say, go be defeated, which meant they could go take it. So they could. But just the 10 spies discouraged the hearts of their people, planted unbelief in them, planted a lie in them that the devil told them when they were spying the land. The devil said, you can't do this. Look at those walls. Look at those iron chairs. And they acknowledged that lie, accepted it, and took it back and spoke it out for everybody else to hear. And they accepted it. And they said or acknowledged what the devil had said. Let me tell you this. There is a battle on for your mind and for what you're going to believe. In every situation, there's a battle on. Whether you're going to acknowledge the truth or acknowledge a lie. The great spiritual battle or the great spiritual warfare today is not between people groups, political parties, you name it, you know, labor against management, you know, all the disputes. Everybody's got somebody. The devil is the master of division. But it's really not between people, flesh and blood. It's between truth and lies. Come on now. We got to shuck the corn a little bit. Now, The thing I want you to, that we're going to get into today, he said, acknowledge him in all your ways. The reason, acknowledge him, a failure to acknowledge him is to acknowledge a lie. Because whatever he said is truth. Thy word is truth. That's just Bible 101. It's faith 101. God said it. That's the truth about it. If you woke up tomorrow morning and the Bible, it doesn't and it won't. But if you woke up tomorrow morning, it's just a hypothetical to make you think about it. If you woke up tomorrow morning and you read in a verse and you read the Bible and you read a verse that said, the grass is not green, it's blue. You should call the dictionary. Say, change the definition of blue. Change the definition of green. Right. And switch them because you got them wrong. That's the kind of commitment you and I need to have to the Word of God.
That's good, Pastor.
People say, now that's naive. No way. Wait a minute. You have got to have a commitment to the veracity of this book. The authority of this word. Now, it has not said anything about the grass being blue, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm making a point that that's the kind of commitment you have. If this says true and somebody else says something else, they told a lie. Now, let me just, you know, I'm not trying to pick on, I'm not trying to jump on a bandwagon this morning, but here's an example of this. Some people are born homosexuals. Huh? Oh, wait a minute. I mean, doesn't science prove that?
No.
See, people are really fuzzy in some of these things.
Yes, they are.
And they have gotten really, and this has caused huge fights in the body of Christ. Things like this. That's just one of a million.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, say to your neighbor,
the Bible says.
Romans chapter number 1, it gives it a lot of different descriptions in Romans chapter 1 of what it is.
Yes.
One of the things it calls it is a reprobate mind. That word, if you look it up, means a mind void of judgment. Now go to Jude chapter, no, that's in Romans chapter number one, but go to Jude chapter number one. There's just one chapter there. But I want you to notice Jude 1 verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, Jude 1:10, these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Yeesh. What they know naturally as brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. You have to be careful about exalting natural knowledge, natural science, natural research, natural statistics, polls, you name it. Just keep on going.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You have to be careful about exalting that stuff above the word. He said natural knowledge can be corrupted. Did you see that? Now, there's a whole lot I could spend time on this, but let's just say this, just to kind of save some time here. Some of these other translations, rather than say what they know naturally, some translations say, well, the King James here says, as brute beasts. They corrupt their minds through, Satan corrupts people's minds really through natural knowledge is what he's talking about. And he uses the natural realm to deceive and oppress even believers who give their attention to natural things. Amen. Now, other translations bring out their minds are corrupted through their animal instincts. Now, I like the outdoors, and I'm a hunter. And whether you're aware of it or not, I'll just say this. Now's a good time to watch out for the back roads because deer are running everywhere. You might say, what happens every year this time of year that deer are running everywhere? Yes. Well, there's this thing called the rut. What is the rut? It's when the does are in heat and the bucks are chasing them. And bucks get out of their head. Stupid. This time of year. That's why they're easy to shoot. All year long, they'll not appear. Big. I'm talking about big mature bucks. They'll not be visible in the daylight. You put out trail cameras and you're taking pictures of them, you'll get all daylight. I mean, you'll get all nighttime pictures. Don't see them. But this time of year, starting about right now, I saw one this morning. I was walking from my bathroom past the bedroom windows, going over, going to get my breakfast, and there went one of the big bucks, Brother Matt, past my door. I mean, past my window.
Wow.
Nose to the ground, panting. He's out of his head. I could have walked up and gone, hi. And he'd have gone. What is that? Animal instincts. Out of their head. Amen. And I pulled some trail camera pictures the other day, and all these big guys are showing up in daylight now.
Yeah, they are.
Because, see, at nighttime they can be. Yeah. That's why they get big and old.
Yeah.
And nobody kills them because they don't come out in the daylight.
Yeah.
So smart hunters, I'm like, hey, I'm going the first week of November. I'm going hunting. Because the big guys will be out of their heads, acting crazy. Just driven by hormones and totally off guard, breaking all their own rules to keep them alive.
All right. Come on.
That's what he said people corrupt their knowledge through. Huh? I thought you'd enjoy that illustration. Did you see what it says? Read it again. They speak things evil of those things which they know not, meaning the truth, but what they know naturally as brute beast, and animal instincts, through their animal instincts. One translation says that what they understand physically, like irrational beasts. That's an interesting thought. In other words, these fleshly appetites have corrupted their knowledge. Now, go back to Romans chapter number 1. I didn't plan on spending my time on all this.
Good.
Romans 1 talks about immorality, talks about homosexuality. God gave them up. Verse 24. Well, let's go back to verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you know, you might have a little letter. I have a G in my Bible. You have maybe a different Bible, but I have a G by hold. I look over there in the margin, it says hold down.
Yeah.
And that's accurate in the Greek. The Greek actually says that, hold down. It's another word for suppress.
Yes.
So let's read it that way. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? They know it, but they don't want to acknowledge it. They know it. There's a lot of that going on in our culture right now. There's a lot of things people know that everybody in culture knows, but they don't want to. But they want to suppress it. The news media is big on that right now. Their way of lying is just not telling the whole, just not telling the truth, just not report on that. They will spread a lie. I saw this one time just recently. Somebody I knew. The news media spread a lie about them, and I knew it wasn't true.
Yeah.
I knew the person.
Yeah.
I knew what happened.
Yeah.
And the news media lied, and then it came out that it was a lie, except nobody reported on it. They did what they wanted to do.
Of course they did. Yeah.
They accomplished their goal to destroy that person's reputation in everybody's eyes.
Yeah.
Now they've discredited that person. And failed to tell the truth. It used to be people were interested in the truth. Well, our culture still is. But there are whole groups of people with agendas out there. And you could take this in a thousand directions. But notice they hold down the truth. Why? In unrighteousness. In unrighteousness. And that means because of their sinful desire to deceive. Let's keep on reading. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the visible things of him that was from the creation of the world are clear to see, and being understood by the things that are made, even of his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The natural realm will even tell you some things aren't true. Two guys can't have a baby. Amen. Well, there's just, you know, you could, anyway, let's keep on reading. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Notice, you ought to circle that, vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. You ought to circle that. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You can hear some of the most asinine things in our culture being said today. Just take abortion. People say the craziest things about abortion rights. They celebrate death. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on these things. There's just a thousand things you could go on. But professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, birds, beasts, for things, creepy things. Okay, verse 24. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts. Notice he gave them up to uncleanness and dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. Notice that, gave them up. In other words, stood back and let them get into these vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, circle that, unseemly, and receiving themselves the recompense of their error, circle error, which was meat. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's the second thing, the second time he said that. Did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Did you see that?
Yes.
did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Say that out loud. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why did their minds become reprobate or so void of judgment or so stupid? Let's put it another way. Just stupid.
Come on. Come on.
Glorifying abortions.
Right.
Celebrating people that had one.
Come on.
Why have people gotten so stupid? Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them up to a reprobate mind, that which is not convenient. Search on not convenient. It means proper or decent. Anybody understand what this is saying?
Yes.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without natural understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection. Natural affection means man for a woman. Woman for a man, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgments of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But what I wanted you to see there is, he said, that the judgment for not wanting to take God into their knowledge was God backed off and gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now that their minds are corrupted through this natural knowledge that they have researched. The Bible talks about false science. Now I'm not preaching on that. I'm not preaching on homosexuality today. I'm making a point about this. In fact, look at some verses. Look at some verses that will help you understand. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 7 through 8. Can you go quickly for me? 2 Timothy 3, 7 through 8. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so also do these who resist the truth. Underline that. Resist the truth. Notice the next statement. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Notice they resist the truth and they have a reprobate. They have a corrupt mind. Here it says corrupt mind. It's a little bit like a computer file that gets a virus in it. They call that corrupted, right?
Yeah.
Well, things in people's minds, things get that way.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about in 1 Peter, or I believe it's 2 Peter chapter number 3. I'd have to look it up at which passage it is. But it talks about the pollution that is in the world corrupting people's knowledge. He's not talking about the smog over major cities. He's talking about satanic, demonic forces telling people lies and them accepting it into their mind, and it is a corrupted knowledge. Their file has got a virus in it. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about corona. I'm talking about knowledge that is not true. And people begin to say that, and they keep repeating it. How many of you know repeating it over and over again doesn't make it true?
Yes, sir. Come on.
They keep repeating it so they can spread the deception, spread the lie, and then they start persecuting people who say, not true. Not true.
Come on.
God, the Bible doesn't say so. You're telling a lie. Now, the Bible does say we have, without Christ, we have a sinful nature. Right? But being born again, a man gets a new nature. And when he's born again, he has the nature of God, the nature of righteousness, and the nature of holiness. Isn't that right? And it says for us to crucify the flesh. Yeah, but this person has all the impulses. Well, I have all the impulses sometimes for women. Don't choke on your cough mint. You just want to have an acknowledge your... That's there. But I don't talk about it. I talk about the righteousness of God.
Yes.
I am made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. If I kept talking about my lust of my flesh, it would inflame my flesh. I have to acknowledge the truth of God's word of who I am in Christ. And that's what a born again person needs to do. Say, I have the nature of God in me, not the nature of that perversion or that sin. And they have to acknowledge that. And that knowledge, when it is acknowledged, makes them free. I said it makes them free. Hallelujah. I'm interested in freedom. So, but you don't become free by acknowledging a lie. Okay, go to 2 Timothy. No, that was 2 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. I want you to see this term. Corruption of mind. This is what Satan's doing in our day. Not just in these areas, but in a lot of areas. There's a lot of people that don't trust news reports anymore because there's so much corrupted information. You know, and politicians, they don't trust them. They say one thing and do another. And it's all because of corruption. And here he calls it's in the mind. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. I want you to notice that. Destitute of the truth. He says this is how this corruption gets in. People are destitute of the truth. Yeah. We read there in 2 Timothy 3:7-8 that they ever learn and never able come to the knowledge of the truth. And they resist the truth, they have corrupt minds. Notice the way for these wrong ways of thinking to get in are resisting the truth or not having God's word on it.
Yes, come on, come on.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah. Amen. So I want you to see that. Notice, I'll read this again, 1 Timothy 6:5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And there's a whole truth there we don't have time to get into. But I want you to see here that this corruption of mind is something the Bible warns us against. Now go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 7. Just we're springboarding off of that acknowledging the truth verse in Proverbs. Still with us?
Yes.
2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 through 11. Now, if you know the context here, this is about the Antichrist and Jesus coming back to destroy him. Let's go back in verse number 3. Let's read a little earlier. Let no man deceive you. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you. See, that's the first warning about the end times concerning the Antichrist. Let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That's the Antichrist. Be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showeth himself that he is God. Now that shows you that the temple is going to be built before he shows up. There's going to be a temple built, another temple over there. And he's going to go into that temple and say, no, don't worship God here, worship me. I am God. He, as God, sitting in the temple of God, shows himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he may be revealed in his time. I believe that's the church withholding that. Verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity, get this, the mystery of iniquity, what is the mystery of iniquity? A covert plan of the enemy.
Yeah.
This plan of the enemy in the area of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let, or holds him back, will hold him back until he be taken out of the way. I believe that's the church. God through the church. Yeah. Not just the church, but God through the church. And then shall that wicked be revealed, that wicked one, in other words, be revealed. See, he's not going to be revealed in our time.
Yeah. Right.
Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Talking about destroying the Antichrist. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now notice this term. With all power and with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, notice we already had a warning in verse 3 about deception. Then we have a warning here about his signs and wonders will be lying signs and wonders. In other words, they'll be false. They'll not be real. Lying signs and wonders. See, what's he trying to do? He's trying to do verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness. With these false signs and wonders, he's going to try to deceive.
Yeah.
I'm not preaching on the Antichrist either. I'm preaching on the battle between truth and lies in your mind. That's really what I'm preaching on. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Notice deception. A person opens themselves to deception when they don't love the truth. That's how this Antichrist, and it's really already begun. That's how this Antichrist is going to deceive people, is because they don't love the truth. What's your antidote against this deception? Loving the truth. Hating lies. Hating lies. They're deceivable because of their unrighteousness, and they also perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now look at this, verse 11. For this cause, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Say it out loud. I love the truth.
I love the truth.
Amen. That is a big, big key to protecting you from deception.
Yes.
All right, before we get to this next verse, let me read Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. Jeremiah 9, verse 3. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. In other words, like a bow, an archer is pulling back the arrow. They're getting ready to speak a lie. For lies. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. I want you to get that one statement. They are not valiant for the truth. That's talking about wickedness, wicked people, but and really the Antichrist. But he's going to be a big liar. That's his biggest characteristic.
Yeah.
But here's my point. What about you and me?
Yeah. Come on.
Are you valiant for the truth? What does that mean? Valiant man is a mighty man. He's a man of war.
Right, right.
In other words, you are in a battle to make sure you're not being deceived.
Yes.
How do you war? Not with flesh and blood weapons. You war with the Word of God.
Yes.
That's your weapon.
Yes.
What does the Word say? So we are to be valiant for the truth. All right, with that in mind, back here to verse 9 again, or verse 10. We're back in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. The love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, here's a cause. There's a cause for why people are so deceived in our day. For this cause, because they had received not the love of the truth, God shall, look at verse number 11, this cause God shall send them strong delusion.
Yes.
That they should believe a lie.
Come on.
That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, can you, when you read things like that, can you connect that with Proverbs 3?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In all your ways, acknowledge him. Why are people falling for lies? They're not valiant for the truth. I'm talking about spiritual things and natural things now. What really happened? To get to the truth of it, you got to wade through all kinds of propaganda. Really, that's just called what it is.
That's true. Yep.
That's right.
Well, we don't know what the truth really is. Jesus told us what the truth is. Thy word is truth. And by the way, your whole attention ought not be on finding out the natural truth. Don't misunderstand me. You should not be deceived in the natural realm.
That's right.
Do your research. Yeah. But there's going to be some things you won't know for sure by digging into the natural because of corrupted knowledge.
Come on.
We already addressed that. There's some things you won't really know.
Yeah.
But if you spend all your time in the natural, studying, researching, and trying to get to the truth, and do that at the expense of developing your spirit through spending your time meditating in the truth, the Word of God, then you will dull your ear to the truth when you hear it. Let me give you an illustrate what I'm talking about. You've heard us say, Pastor Nancy started us on this thought and just blessed us so much, and you've heard us say it as well. She tells her praise and worship team, don't listen to music that doesn't have the anointing on it. You'll dull your ear for the anointing. Remember that? Where's the praise and worship team? I want a whole bunch of recognition of what the... You'll dull your ear. There's a lot of music that doesn't have the anointing on it. You know what the anointing is? The anointing is saying God's confirming the what is being said there.
Amen.
In that song. The same thing is true with digging into a lot of natural knowledge. Now, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying if you do that at the expense of feeding your spirit on the Word of God and your mind on the Word of God, washing it regularly with the water of the Word, you will dull your ear to the real truth. Now, when you feed on the Word, you're developing your spirit to recognize your spirit will have the ability to recognize the truth when you hear it.
All right.
Because you've been feeding on nothing but the truth.
That's so good. Yeah.
And you might hear a news report and know instantly that's not true. Why? Because you've been feeding on the truth, and you have developed your ear to recognize the truth.
That's good.
You've developed your spirit to hear the truth and recognize that's the truth. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
Go over to Job, the book of Job. Love the Word of God.
Amen.
That's one of your safest places in this culture we're in. Love the Word of God and spend your time on it. Feed your mind on it. Give your attention to it. Wash it regularly.
Yes.
Amen. And whenever, and your spirit will develop to recognize the truth. And you'll be more conscious of the spirit of truth in you because you're letting him guide you into all truth in the Word of God. And then whenever you're so used to following the spirit of truth into truth, when you hear a lie, that spirit of truth will say, not true.
That's right.
You'll recognize it.
Yes, sir.
It's like the way they teach bankers to recognize counterfeit $100 bills. They don't show them counterfeit $100 bills. There's too many different kinds, but they only handle real ones.
Yeah.
As soon as they handle one that's not real, you know, they got more some technology in them today, but they handle ones that are not real, they know instantly, this isn't a real real $100 bill.
Yep.
That's the way you do with the Word of God, your own spirit and the ability of your spirit. You can train your spirit to recognize the truth.
Yes.
You can train your spirit in a lie and you're dull to what is really true.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so notice what Job says. Job says in Job chapter 34, verse number 3. Job 34, and this is repeated twice in the book of Job. The ear tries words as the mouth tasteth meat. You might say, what on earth, Pastor, are you talking about? Listen to the way. The ear tries words like the mouth tasteth meat. Have you ever eaten meat that is spoiled? Or put meat in your mouth that's spoiled? Or poured milk in your cereal in the morning that was spoiled and you didn't realize it? And put it in your mouth? As soon as you put it in the mouth, you're like, ooh, spit it out in the sink. Your taste buds have been trained to recognize something that's spoiled.
That's good.
You can taste bad meat, can't you? You can taste bad food. You can taste sour milk. You can taste. That's what he's saying there when he says the tongue or mouth tasteth meat. He's saying you can train your ear to hear words and know whether they're true or lies.
Yeah.
You can train your ear that way.
Yes, sir.
But you don't do it by digging into natural knowledge.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
You train it with the Word of God.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I had more amens in the house. You train it in the Word of God. Your spirit has to be trained. The Spirit of truth dwells in you and knows all things, but you have to train your spirit to listen to that voice and not other voices. He is the Spirit of truth. And when you develop the habit of getting the knowledge that the Spirit gives you in the Word and then acknowledging it. In other words, not going around talking about everything else you heard, but acknowledge the truth.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear a lie, whether it's on the news, whether it's about the coronavirus, whether it's about whatever they're talking about, you instantly know inside something true about that.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
There's an agenda behind that.
So true. Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
But you don't develop it by digging all the research. I'm not saying don't do that. I believe people ought to do some research. Because if you follow your spirit, he'll guide you right into what you need to know. Even in the natural. But you don't develop your spirit on that. You develop it on the Word of God. Your spirit develops in the ability to know what's true and what's not by the Word of God. And sometimes you'll go to click on a video on YouTube studying whether the coronavirus is this or that, or whether it's, whatever, the vaccine or whatever, is this or that. And you'll click on a video and the Spirit of God say, don't watch that.
Exactly.
Someone said, well, we need to have an open mind. If the Holy Ghost says don't watch that, don't dull your ear by overriding the inner witness, by overriding the spirit of truth.
Yes.
Amen. Am I preaching all right? There's been times that I've studied, researched into what's going on in Christian music out there. And I was like, wow. I mean, like somebody said the other day, you know, fog machines and skinny jeans. In other words, they don't have the real glory and they're not holy. You know, it's just like. And I'm like, really? Really? And I watch another one. Really? That woman jumping up and down like that?
Thank you.
With hardly any clothes on?
No.
What? This is supposed to be Christian. And the Holy Ghost said, stop it.
Yeah.
How many of you know the devil loves to get people's attention with sensationalism? I can predict, I can determine your deceivableness rating by knowing how much you fall for sensationalism. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than your amen, and that's just the fact. Well, praise the Lord. Glad you came this morning.
Yes.
Corrupted knowledge. You and I've got to guard our attention. The devil is after people's minds. He's after people's thought lives. He's after believers' thought lives. He wants to corrupt them. He wants to deceive them. Am I preaching all right?
Yes.
The devil is going to oppose the church in this hour, and this is one area he's opposing us in. We have to be skillful with the truth, skillful with the Word of God, and follow the Spirit of truth in all things. Amen? The devil's offering you a whole lot of thoughts. He's offering you a lot of information. We live in the information age. You do not need to know everything. You could spend all day, every day, learning all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so true.
But it's affecting your spirit.
Yeah.
And those things don't matter.
No.
When the devil shows up trying to steal your baby's life. Amen. 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 Believers just intuitively know a lot of things that eventually, 10 years later, culture figures out. We could have saved them 10 years of time. If they just listen. Isn't that right? Why? Because we have the Spirit of truth in us. And he tells us the truth. Oh, come on. Somebody ought to shout amen. Go over to the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. We talked about this verse, and we need to look at the context a little bit. I'm just barely off of page 1 of these notes here. This is going to help you if you listen to it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. First John chapter 2, look at what it says here. We read these verses, we read verse 27, remember we quoted it earlier, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you have not. You need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and there's no lie, even as that taught you, you shall abide in him. Do you know I misquoted that verse? I started it out by saying, and the anointing. But that's not how it started. But the anointing. But the anointing. We've got to go back and see what he's talking about. Verse number 20. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Isn't that good?
Yes.
You know what's true. You know what's a lie.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Parents, you know when your children are standing there lying to you.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Don't say, well, I just don't know. Little old Johnny. No, you know, you know, you know, you know, you know.
Oh, you
gotta
just look at him.
Yeah. But you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Look at verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lies of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? That ought to give you a clue. Some of these people that are out there lying, the first thing they did was deny the gospel. So you ought to first thing whenever you hear that say, I can't trust you to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Because you denied the one who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
Come on, yeah.
So you just put a mark against yourself.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay, if you're still ready to handle some more. Listen to verse 23. Whosoever denies the Son, same hath not the Father also. He that acknowledges the Son, we've been reading about acknowledgement, hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Now to get this. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Why is he telling us you have an unction from the Holy One and you know? He's trying to say, I've given you this truth, this knowledge that the Holy Ghost is in you, guiding you into all truth so that you don't fall for those who are seducing you. That doesn't mean, you know, we think of seduction maybe a sexual thing, but that means seducing into lies and deception.
Yeah.
That means, seducing away from the truth.
Yeah.
I've written these things unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing. Can you see that? He's talking, the context is deception. The context is lying spirits, corrupted knowledge, and people saying things based on natural hormones.
Come on.
I'm just telling you. And based on reprobate minds and based on seared consciences. Even an unbeliever who doesn't have a seared conscience, They'll draw back from telling lies.
Come on.
But people's conscience who's been so seared, they're so used to telling lies, they just say it. And after a while, they don't even, you know. They just say it and they don't even think anything about it. Well, did you get anything out of that this morning?
Yes, sir.
I didn't get anywhere close to what I planned on sharing this morning.
Very good.
But that's my plan, not heaven's plan. So we just went with heaven. Fill your mind with heavenly realities, not natural facts of information.
Amen.
That'll protect you against this deception. There's a lot of things you'll just know intuitively if you're developing your spirit. You're developing your spirit. I said if you're developing your spirit, you'll just know. And that'll save us all kinds of heartache. There are things that all of us have ever written in times past, because we acknowledge we didn't trust the Lord with all our heart and lean to our own understanding. We didn't acknowledge what we had on the inside, acknowledge the Spirit of Truth, acknowledge the Word of God, and we overwrote it and got in trouble and said, "I knew it. I knew not to do that." We've all done it. Have you done it? I've done it. But we're developing our spirits. Hallelujah. I can calculate your deceivableness rating. Remember, he said they're deceivable. Different people are more deceivable than others. I can calculate your deceivableness rating by how much time you spend in the Word of God and giving your attention to the Word of God. If you're a word person, word morning, word afternoon, word in the night, you'll not be near as duped by just with everything everybody says. Your child will come home from school and they'll say, this happened and that happened, and you'll go, mm-mm, mm-mm, no, no, no. Come here, Johnny.
Yep, that's right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And you'll, by the Spirit, find out the truth. And really, parents ought to be that way, because they'll save their children a whole lot of heartache. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Meditate on the Word of God and develop your spirit to perceive these things. And as you do, He'll guide you right out of lies. He'll guide you right into the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you hate whenever you find out you have been believing a lie? Anybody ever groan to a little bit more spiritually and find out, that wasn't even true?
Yeah.
And I was believing it for 10 years or whatever.
Come on. Yeah.
The devil corrupts knowledge through feelings. He corrupts knowledge through emotions. He corrupts knowledge through science. Now, I'm not saying all science is false. That's not true either. But I'll tell you one science that is false, and they've proven it over and over again, but people don't want to acknowledge it, and that is evolution.
Amen.
Yeah, but we got this geological column. Yeah, but in other places, it's all twisted around.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, we don't know about that, but... Well, the flood explains all of it. The flood, Noah's flood, explains all of the geological column and where it's twisted and where it's not the same and so forth and so on. And I don't have time to get into all that. But see, the devil sold a bill of goods because they denied the knowledge of God. But that doesn't change the truth. Amen. Well, anyway, I didn't plan on getting on all the hot topic points today, but if sometimes people understand better if you will say some of those things, and I believe it helps us. There are people that are like that madman of Gadara in Mark 5. You can stand with me. There are people who are like that man when Jesus cast the devil out of him. Remember, he was possessed with the devil. He's in the tombs cutting himself with stones.
Yep.
Not everybody's at that place. Not everybody's possessed of the devil.
Right.
But there are people, there are various degrees of demon activity. There are various degrees of deception. There are various degrees of people just telling lies and believing lies. Remember, the Bible said the mark of the last days that people will be deceived and being deceived.
Yeah.
They'll be deceiving people and being deceived. This is the mark of the last days. Well, there are people at various degrees of that. This man in Mark 5, that he's possessed with the devil. That means he's not saved, and Satan took him over spirit, soul, and body. Satan can't take over a believer spirit, soul, and body, because they're born of the Spirit. The greater one lives on the inside of them. So, but this man's possessed. He's taken over spirit, soul, and body. After he's set free, Jesus ministered to him and delivered him. And notice, because, you know, then the whole pig thing, and you remember that story, they ran off and into the water. They'd rather be dead than full of devils. Pigs are smarter than some people, you know. So they ran off and drowned in the sea. And then everybody ran into town scared, and then they came back out. And here's this man sitting at Jesus' feet. Jesus is putting a word into him. Jesus is putting a word. See, he's safeguarding him against those demons coming back. And they found this man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. In his right mind. That part is the most precious to me. In his right mind. God wants you and I to be in our right minds. Oh, thank you, Father. What does that tell you? That man had a hold of, the demon had a hold of that man's mind. You know what that tells you? The devil's after people's minds. He wants your mind. He wants your thought life. He wants your attention. Don't give it to him. Keep it on the Word. Keep it on the truth. Brother Hagin said his family, I'm closing. I know you. I had you stand up to help me. Brother Hagin said he knew. Remember, I said he was, the doctor said he had to die, and he knew when he got born again. He knew he didn't have to die, and he knew the answer was in that book, the Word of God.
Yeah.
So he asked for the Word of God. His family, he's reading his Bible all the time. I mean, he didn't have the strength to read it all day, but when he could, when he had the strength, that's all he would read. And his family got concerned about him and said, "Doctor, we've tried to talk to him. He's going to lose his mind. He's just reading the Bible all the time. Could you help him? Tell him to read the newspaper or tell him to read the funny pages." You know, the funny pages was what they call it. "Tell him to read something else because we're concerned he's going to lose his mind." And Brother Hagin said, "My family was concerned I was going to lose my mind because all I would read was the Bible." Brother Hagin said the family was all concerned. The doctor would come in and say, "Don't you ever read the funny pages?" "No," Brother Hagin said, "don't have time." He's laying on the bed all day long. Yeah. Don't have time.
That's right.
Well, don't you ever read a novel or, you know, mystery books or anything like that? "Nope, don't have time." They couldn't get him to get out of the Word. Brother Hagin said, "My family was afraid I was going to lose my mind." He said, "Thank God I did. Thank God I got the mind of Christ." Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Satan's after your mind. Don't give it to him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. The Amplified adds the word disciplined. You know, if we don't discipline our thought life to read and meditate on the Word of God, then we won't have a sound mind. I want a sound mind. In this world today, this world needs some sound-mindedness. It needs some people that aren't whacked out on medications because of emotional problems. They need people that are just sound. Think clear. Think right. Have common sense, which used to be common. Hallelujah. This isn't your grandpa's world. You know what I'm talking about? There's more coming for your mind than ever before. Let's just pull back on some of the things we've been giving our attention to. Amen.